Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. A beautiful Sunday here, even with a little sprinkle sometimes, but that's okay. For announcements today, it's Happy Father's Day. Yay. For all you fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. Welcome. And we have a guest speaker today, David. So we're excited to have him here. A couple of announcements. Prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I encourage you to come. That's on Zoom. If you don't, there's also a phone number you can call and be online with us without receiving. You may be able to have you, yes. That's where you were.
Yeah.
I wondered where my dog was.
I watched for it too, so I'm gonna
also we have gleaners on Wednesday, 11 o'clock here on Wednesday. And if you know somebody in need, you can contact Sherry or Helen and they can meet you either earlier or stay after. And then we have so let's go to the Lord. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you today. We praise you for this house that we can come and just worship you and praise your name, Lord Jesus. We just ask that you be with this worship service. We ask that you be with Pastor David as he goes and preaches to us today. Lord, open our hearts. Let us absorb exactly what we are to learn. I praise you for the worship songs that we have to lay, Lord. And they're peppy and just full of joy. And we are so that you be with us as we sing these songs, Lord, and just let them be music to your ears. We just give you praise, Lord, for all that you do for us. We just ask that we take everything away and just let us just think about you and concentrate on you this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, we're going to stand and we're going to go to our call to worship. And today it's Galatians 5:24.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there.
All right.
Get ready.
Big grab, because here we go. Yeah. We're going to Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of revival, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Down of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming his flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call. Lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted above, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days.
Oh, Ancient of Days. I love this song. I love all the songs.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken. We have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive. He's alive. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, there's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Spirit, you are welcome here. Come for this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence.
I'll come over here so that they can still hear us out there.
You ready to help say prayers for offering?
Father, Lord, thank you so much for the many blessings you give us in our daily lives. Lord, please bless this church family and our own families as we remember to give back to you the portion you have commanded. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
And then I'll put it back down for whoever else. Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Good morning, my fellow brothers and sisters. Now we get to do what I think is the most honored part of our service today. Let's us fellowship together as a family and share our needs and our praises. I'll call this a need on my part. My wife is gone in California visiting family, and so I'm single parenting a couple boys, but God is good, so we're making it through it. But those of you who are married have had that privilege of being married. When your spouse is gone, half your brain is not there. So I'm working with half my brain tied behind my back. So my prayer request is for safe travels for Sarah and Claire. Father down visiting family in California. Anybody else have a need or a request they would like to share? Sky. Your dad has pneumonia. Okay, so praying for Dan Lathrop with pneumonia. And is he on medicine? Oh, good. Okay, good. Okay, is he responding well? Or can you tell yet? Okay. All right. So prayer for Dan Lathrop, who is suffering with pneumonia right now and is on medication, that the hands of God will work through his antibiotics and bring him back to health. Absolutely. Fred. Yeah. It's our special guest who brought us shakes for the Carriage House. Yes. Uncle. Stan Marble, yeah. Thank you for bringing some shakes. I know they're not chocolate. Yes, Stan. So Dan is sharing a praise after radiation treatments. His cancer numbers are 0.00. Yeah. Amen, right? Amen. Yep. Absolutely. Judy, updates. Yes. Yes, please. Praise the Lord. Yes. For Lori Cooper and a little bit of rejuvenated life. So prayer for Marie Hunley and mental health struggles she's going through right now with all of her health challenges and everything. And prayer for Dan, too. Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard on Dan seeing Marie go through all that. And Dan also has health concerns of his own, which keep him mostly in bed. So prayer for both Dan and Marie Hunley. Continued prayer for Leo Hesselgesser as he's found out he needs to extend his chemotherapies. So let's continue to pray for him and his battle with cancer. Anybody else have something to share? I'll share a praise. It's summer. That's the only thing I'll say in teacher land, because I tend to harp there too much. It's summer. I know I can get an amen from the third row over there, far end.
Except this row, I've been on vacation for 2 months.
Anybody else have something they'd like to share with the body today? Or praise or request?
I just like to praise God for who he is. He's always there for us in everything that we do. And, you know, sometimes in our frustration, it must send God's way of telling me that, just, you know, that I'm in the right place at the right time just for him. And,
ever, so it's just, it's wonderful knowing
you. Rhonda's just praising God for being God. I don't think I could live up to that job definition, no matter how many times I've tried for myself. So, no, yeah, thank you, Lord, for being God. I love the way he will sometimes tell us or force us to let go and let him. And it seems like it's been a good season for you, sister. Yeah. The knee replacement is working out wonderful for Rhonda, so praise the Lord.
Cold weather and, you know, metal aren't always the best friends. But hey, you know, it's been horrible.
It turns out it was just what you need. Sorry. Yes, we got Linda with us today, too. Yes. You're in full command of the word purge, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Rhonda. Rhonda. Okay. Helen, I saw your hand up. Bobby Kendall and her son took care of the lawn for us this week. I don't know which son it was, but Ed, okay. I know Ed and Gary are at home, I think, so. Praise God for Ed and Gary, who can help support Bobby, too. Absolutely. Well, yes. Don't come by my house. I have a jungle in the front yard, too. Every time it got to be a good day to mow, praise God for more rain. That's the way it goes. Yeah.
Pray for Lori and her health.
Pray for
Lori and all of her health stuff. She's been fighting stuff.
For your sister, Lori. Okay.
Something.
So prayer for Lori Wiseman and a sinus infection that she is battling. I think I remember seeing that come up on the prayer chain. Was it a blood pressure that was too low? Too high. Okay, there's somebody else that I remember praying for was too low.
Yeah. She was retaining lots of fluid.
Praise God for that. That's a huge thing. A lot of us take blood pressure meds. We understand that. Yeah. So Judy is just who? You and Andy. So Judy just wants to ask us for God to watch over her and Andy as they go to Colorado to visit family, I assume. I know you got lots of, is it your sister over there, I think? Yeah. Sarah is, like I said, down in California. Her uncle is going through a heart surgery, so she's going to go visit him after visiting family and Tracy right now for a wedding for her cousin. So, prayer for, obviously, the wedding to go off without too many hitches. How many you got married and saw all the things that went wrong that nobody else saw, but it happens. And that she has a really good time with family there. And then she can support her uncle after surgery, heart surgery, up in Placerville. Uncle Pat is his name. Patrick. All right, anyone else? Let us go together as a family before our God. Lord God, Almighty. King of the universe, giver of every good. All-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere. You are God. and we are grateful that you love us and you are in our lives. Thank you for being who you are. And for your great love for us. Cleanse us in our hearts, Lord, as we come together as a family from anything untoward that we did short of your glory this week. Restore in us a new and right spirit to go forth again this week. And Lord, prepare our hearts for your message to come through your servant today. Thank you, Father, for the many praises lifted up. Thank you for spouses, houses, jobs, return to health. And Lord, even thank you for struggles with health, that we would learn to return to you, to let go and let you be God. Lord, we lift up so many that are in physical need today. My heart is heavy. I want to cry, but Lord, I'm going to let go and let you be God and trust for your movement in Dan Lathrop's lives, in the lives of Dan and Marie Hundley, for Leo Hessegester, for my wife and her family in California, for Lori Wiseman, who's not with us but has a sinus infection or some kind of respiratory infection. And Lord, for all of us that struggled to get here with some physical infirmity, Lord, shore us up. Lord, we thank you for all of the hurts and all of the healing you provide. Yes, we thank you for the hurts, that we may see you reveal your glory great among us in the healing. Father, Lord, we lift up Judy as she's going to travel, that her and her son Andy travel safely. And Lord, I ask the same traveling mercies over my own family who is gone and many other families on summer break right now. Watch over the highways and the byways. As you already say, you watch over our going and our coming every day. So, Lord, keep your guardian angels over our loved ones and keep them safe. And Lord, we just ask for your hand to move in the hearts of men and women in this nation and bring forth a revival. COVID has slowed down and has hampered and has had such an effect on our churches, on our fellowships. Lord, we just ask. We just ask that as we learn to deal with it, we return to you as our first love and we return to fellowship in your name. Lord, bring back those who have not been able to be here because of COVID. I long for the fellowship of them all. Father God, be with the hearts and minds of the leaders in our local governments, our state governments, and our federal governments. Right now, it seems like such a strange time, and our leadership seems so out of touch. Lord, reach past skin color, reach past gender, reach past sex, reach past any identifiable characteristic of who we are into our hearts and the hearts of all the fellow men and women that you have created, and bring revival to the hearts of our leaders as well. Lord, give them the wisdom to make godly decisions that benefit the just and the unjust for your holy name's sake. Turn the light back on in the city of the hill called the United States, Lord, for your great glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, kids, come on up. It's time for kids' church prayer. Come on. Come on, Bubba. Father, Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for the light of who you are that shines through them into our hearts and minds. Thank you for the opportunity to slow down, see who they are, and see out of the mouth of babes comes your wisdom. And Lord, I want to pray for my hotspot because that's what Landon asked for, that the hotspot would charge at home. But Lord, let us remember that each one of us is your hotspot and you charge us that we might radiate the Wi-Fi of your love everywhere we go. So Lord, charge up these children through the words and hearts and actions of those that will teach them today to power your kingdom beyond the days you have appointed us. Amen. Amen.
That was great. Thank God for Pastor Ivan and for his beautiful children who participate in our children's church and others who come along too and visit and participate. Good to see all of you here today. God is good.
Amen.
And today, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We have a guest speaker for the occasion. And so I would like to introduce my new friend. I don't know. Dr. Wheeler, I think maybe we've known each other a year now, and then in some months. We met during COVID. So my friend, I have several friends who are pastors, and one of my pastor friends invited me to join a prayer group. So there's a number of us pastors in the Portland metro area who gather on Saturday nights, and we pray together. So that's how I got to meet Dr. Wheeler. So I took really particular interest in Dr. Wheeler because he speaks Spanish and he teaches theological classes in Spanish. I'm like, get down. So, like, I just love that. I think it's fascinating. And I want to share some more information about my friend as he comes to bring the word of God to us today, to inspire our hearts and our minds to keep on keeping on for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So David Wheeler, Dr. Wheeler was born and raised in Louisville, as they pronounce it, Kentucky, and has lived in Portland since 2007. He earned his Master of Divinity from Divinity School of Yale University, and then he went back and got his doctorate in theology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California. Dr. Wheeler has pastored, he quote-unquote retired from pastoring in 2018, but he was with First Baptist Church of Portland from 2007 until 2018. He's had some other pastorates along the way, which include not only First Baptist Church here in Portland, but First Baptist Church in Los Angeles. He's also been at Portola Baptist Church in San Francisco. He's teaching right now, as I said. I think he might be on break at the moment, but classes keep coming and going, you know, as the school year goes. So where has he taught? Let's see, Central Baptist Seminary, Kansas City, Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, and currently at Eastern Baptist Seminary, which is actually housed in Philadelphia, but he teaches international students. So that's what's cool. His wife, Carol, is actually not here with us today, but she, I believe, retired from a career in mental health. She was a mental health administrator. And they have two adult children who we pray often for. His daughter, Claire, who is married to James, and his son, Micah, who is a musician like my son. So we have quite a few things in common. So please welcome Dr. David Wheeler.
I interacted with you folks before worship, and as I listened to and lent my voice to the singing, and then as I listened to and participated in my heart in prayer, I actually thought of another song, which we didn't sing this morning, but I imagine we have. The song that says, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. I felt that, did you? And I imagine you feel it every morning, because every Sunday morning, because I know I can feel that this is a real family in Christ, and you're interwoven in a community, so you're part of this community. And all the things that we share, and some of the things we don't share, because we have the generational differences and political differences and all of that, and in all the things that we share, we know that there's a sweet, sweet spirit who superintends it all.
He's done.
Now, I want to begin by reconnecting us with really one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And we call it the parable of the prodigal son. We put the emphasis on the son. And I have an image when I think about the son. It's from the scripture, because the scripture tells us that he took all he had and made a journey into the far country. And those of us who have children, particularly adult children, we know that sometimes they have to make that journey into the far country to get out from under mom and dad, to get out from under the household rules, to really find out who they are. Did you ever make a journey into the far country? Not asking for any confessions here, but again, I imagine because of the spirit of fellowship and shared faith that I've already felt here this morning, I imagine some of you have shared with one another, prayed over your own journey to the far country. Let me just remind you, you know the story. The younger of two sons came to his father and said, give me now my portion of the estate. Now, dad was still alive and well. And so I don't know if you've thought about this before, but when that young man confronted his father and demanded that portion of the estate, he was basically saying, Dad, you're dead to me. I'm done here. And I've often wondered whether the father actually had to sell off some of the land, turn it into cash, in order to meet his son's demand. Son went off into the far country. And the old King James says that he wasted his goods in riotous living. Now you can put your own interpretation on that, what that riotous living consisted in. But as long as he was flush with cash, as long as he hadn't overrun his limit on his credit cards, he had plenty of friends. But when the money ran out, the party was over, and the only job he could find as a Jewish young man in a faraway country was as a swineherd. Imagine. And he was so hungry, he said, he was so hungry he almost wanted to eat the corn husks that he was feeding to the swine. But he said, in my father's house, even the hired hands have enough and more than enough. He came to himself, the scripture says, and he said to himself, I will rise and go to my father. Now, we know the story. And the story, to this point, focuses on the prodigal son. But this morning, on Father's Day in particular, I want to focus on the Father. And I've entitled my message, The Image of a Father. Now, I don't know, I may be putting thoughts in your head, but there are some folk in Protestant traditions and holiness traditions, folks who are not from the Catholic or Orthodox tradition, there are some folks for whom that word image is a little bit of an uncomfortable word. You know, we remember in the Ten Commandments, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image. So I'm not talking about statues of saints. I'm not even talking about portrayals of Christ or the apostles in stained glass windows. And yes, in the First Baptist Church in downtown Portland, we see Christ and some of the saints in the stained glass windows there. But for some folks, that whole idea of an image is a little bit uncomfortable. So let me tell you exactly, I told you what I don't mean. Let me tell you exactly what I do mean. An image is a word picture. We talk about the Bible as the Word of God, and so the Bible is full of word pictures of God. Let's be real clear here. None of our ideas, none of our pictures, none of our concepts can capture God. Some of us have been married for a while, and we think we know our spouses pretty well, but sometimes they surprise us. Am I talking to anybody? Our spouses, our parents, our children, our best friends are more than what we can describe. So if that's true about other human beings, it's certainly true about God, the creator and sustainer of all, the redeemer of those who come to him in repentance and faith. So God is bigger than our ideas. God is bigger than our pictures. And that's why there are a whole lot of word pictures. That's what I mean by images. There are a whole lot of word pictures of God in Holy Scripture. Some of them, in fact, a whole lot of them are what I call inorganic. My daughter's an inorganic chemist. She's working with things like platinum nanoparticles to try and create and store sustainable energy. I remember once when I was with her in her laboratory and she showed me a test tube and she said, Dad, you know, if I dropped this on the floor, that'd be $10,000. If you ever took chemistry, you might hear the word inorganic that way. But there are inorganic images of God in the Bible. And you know that God is the rock of our salvation. God is a shield. God is a two-edged sword. God is a fortress. And we know these things are true. God is a shield who protects us, a rock on whom we can stand, a fortress within which we can hide. But God is more than that, because God is certainly not inert like a rock. Now, especially on Father's Day, I will also mention that there are some feminine images of God in the Bible. In fact, right here in Luke 15, where we find the parable of the prodigal son, there are three parables. The first one is the parable of the good shepherd, and we automatically, I think, refer that good shepherd imagery to Jesus. In fact, he himself, in John's gospel, refers to himself as the shepherd of sheep. And of course, when we get past this obdurate, ungrateful son and begin to think about the father in the parable, of course we refer that father directly to God. But what about the parable in the middle? Do you remember? Between the good shepherd and between the prodigal son and his father, there's a parable about a woman who loses a valuable silver coin in her house. I am a world champion at losing stuff. Just ask my wife. So according to the parable, the woman gets out her flashlight. Well, actually, I don't think it says that exactly. But she turns everything upside down. She looks all over her house. And she rejoices when she finds that coin, just like the good shepherd rejoices when he finds the lost sheep, just like the father of the prodigal rejoices when he sees it coming a long way off. So that's an image of God. We are God's household. And if anybody goes missing in the household, God is not satisfied until that missing person is found. So there are inorganic images of God in the Bible. There are feminine images of God. That's not the only one. Our text today is in Luke 15. At the end of Luke 14, Jesus is approaching the city of Jerusalem for the events of that Holy Week, as we call it. And he looks out over the city, Luke 14, 36, and he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you stone the prophets and you kill those who are sent to you. How I would gather you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks." If we believe, as the Christian churches of all denominations have historically confessed, that in Jesus the man we have the human presence of God, then Jesus, the mother hen, image of God as well. Now, as an aside, I'll just say that all the images don't work the same way for everybody. And sometimes one of those word pictures hits the spot, sometimes it doesn't. When I was at Central Baptist Seminary in Kansas City, where I taught for a number of years, I also had a side gig at a Presbyterian church. This was a very large church. They had a lot of resources, and they had a budget line for what they called theologian in residence. And for a number of years, that was me. And so what that specifically entailed was doing adult Bible study classes, adult issue classes, sometimes on Sunday morning, sometimes midweek. And I remember once being invited to lead scripture study in a group called Especially for Women. That was a little bit of a head scratcher for me, because it was a group entirely made up of women, and their normal leadership was one or the other of the women in the church, and there was a woman pastor on staff, but some of the laity were also very skilled in interpreting the scripture and very close to the Lord. But I guess they needed somebody in a pinch, and so they got me. And we began to talk about God the Father. And one of the women began to weep. I knew these women. I hadn't taught this group, but I had taught them in other settings. And they were a very close group. And one of the women began to weep. And she said, "I'm sorry, but I can't think of God as my Father, because when I was young, my earthly father violated me." So you see, that's why there are a lot of word pictures in the Bible, because they don't all work the same for everybody, and they don't all work all the time depending on what's going on in our life. But having said that, we need to recognize that the image of God as Father, it's not simply a common image because we've used it a lot, which we have. It's a common image, a powerful image, because it was central to the self-understanding and central to the teaching of Jesus himself. Think about it. Jesus tells Philip in John 14, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father," referring to God as Father. Now, I believe and wholeheartedly endorse the classical understanding of Jesus Christ, that he was both human and divine, that he was God's presence in the midst of our human race. But he did have a human will and human emotions. And we know when his friend Lazarus died, he wept. We know that he was hungry and thirsty and tired and sometimes had to go aside just to get away from the crowd. We know that he was disappointed in his disciples, his closest followers, whom he had loved and prayed and brought up to carry forward his message of God's kingdom. But when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night on which he was betrayed, he prayed again. You can find this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. He prayed, "Abba, Father, you can do all things. Please take this cup away from me." That was Jesus as a genuine human being, grieving, dare I say, afraid, anxious. And when he was at this low point in his human journey, Father. So we know that this understanding of God was simple to the self-understanding of the man, Jesus, and central to his teaching. We do know, just to carry that Gethsemane scene to a bit of completion, that he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, my human will, but yours, your divine will, the divine plan of which I'm a part, not my will." So we do know that in the midst of all the images, masculine, feminine, inorganic, that for Jesus himself, the image of the Father was central. And here's something fascinating about this parable. So far, I've reminded us of the bad behavior of the son, and then I've reminded us of the repentance of the son. He came to himself and he said, "I will arise and go to my father not just attitude in your head. Real repentance is a decision upon which someone acts. Now, it is the grace of God that moves us to repentance. It is the grace of God that accepts us and receives us as repentant. But we have to act upon that repentance. It can't just be a feeling. Gosh, I'm really sorry. And in fact, in the New Testament, the word faith is a translation of the Greek word pistis, which also occurs in a verb form, pistuo, faith. And it's not just the attitude in our head, oh, I believe, it's faithfulness. It's acting upon that which we believe. So he did arise and go to his Father. So, thus far the Son. So far, so good. But what about the Father? I can imagine the gossip in the community where this Father lives. And I have received nothing but good vibes this morning in Gales Creek. But I'm sure, because it's true of every community, especially communities where folks know one another really well. I'm not being critical. I'm saying that's true of us. Yeah, that's true of the anointing for the community where I live. The old man just hadn't been the same. He just sits on the front porch all the time and he's rocking the chair and looking out into space. Well, I'm just conjecturing there. And it's a story, not a biography. But here's what the story says. The Father saw his Son a long way off. That's why I have that image in my own mind of the old man sitting on the front porch in the rocking chair. The Father saw the Son a long way off. What did he do? He ran to meet him. Now, we've all grown up, if we were in Sunday school and church, with these pictures of the Hebrew patriarchs. They wore long robes. They wore coverings from a hot desert sun and wind over their heads. They had long sleeves. So imagine that old man with his long robes and his long sleeves and his covered head running. I'm going to take a little detour here from the scripture, but for me it's instructive. Have you ever seen those Godfather movies? 2022 is the 50th anniversary of the first Godfather movie. We got all three out on DVD. We watched all three out earlier this year. And here's the thing about the Godfather. The Godfather doesn't come to see you. You go to see the Godfather. And you go to see the Godfather where you're told and when you're told. And the reason I bring that up is because the Hebrew patriarch, not just the famous ones like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but the Hebrew patriarch general was the head of the extended family. You didn't take a job or start a career or move geographically without the approval of the patriarch. In fact, you probably didn't do it unless the patriarch suggested it. You didn't get married unless the patriarch approved. And likely the patriarch chose your spouse. So the Hebrew patriarch was like the godfather. He didn't come to you. You come to him. When he says, where he says. And the father in this parable is the Hebrew patriarch. But in this instance, the old man ran. He couldn't run without getting his skirts up. The old man getting his skirts up. It showed his bony white shins. And he went running down the hill to see his no good son. And the neighbor saw it and he said, he's really gone over the fence this time. He's really lost. And the old man embraced his son and kissed his son and said to the servants, who were most likely not all that happy to see this guy and who were certainly concerned for the old man's mental health, he said to the servants, kill the fatted calf, we're going to have a feast. Now, I mentioned when I reminded us of Jesus in the garden praying in his extremity. And he knew the divine plan. He was on earth to fulfill the divine plan. He had a clarity about God's will because it was parallel and connected to his own human will. He had a clarity about God's will that even the most faithful of us will never have on this side of glory, and yet he still was in that moment of extremity, and he said, Abba, Father. Now, the New Testament, as I'm sure most of you know, is written in Greek, but there are scattered words that are not Greek. Jesus on the cross said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is Aramaic. Means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Aramaic was the language of the common folk in those days. And Hebrew was what you learned in synagogue to do your bar mitzvah, you spoke Aramaic. And Greek was what you learned because you needed it in business, because Jewish Palestine at the time of Jesus was an international crossroads. And Greek was the language of literature and business in the empire. Latin was the language of law. Greek was the language of business and literature. So the New Testament was written in Greek so that everybody from Palestine to Corinth to Rome and back would understand it. But the words that Jesus and the apostles actually spoke were Aramaic. The apostles transcribed them into Greek. And Abba is Aramaic word, and it means father, sort of, but it means father like daddy means father. It means father like in Spanish, papa means father. It's what a small child or a loving family member says. I was very blessed when my father lived to be 100. Hadn't been gone long. But I really didn't call him father. I called him dad. And he called me Shorty. There's a story behind that. I was fascinated with basketball from an early age when I was small. And I obsessed about it. And so my father was concerned about my self-esteem, so he called me Shorty. And that sounds cruel. He was 6 feet tall before he got kind of over shrunk a little bit. But even when I towered over him, he still called me short. I call him dead. That's a term of endearment. That's a term of endearment. And so Jesus, and here's where I'm going with all of this. Jesus not only called God Father, thought of God as this Heavenly Father, but he redefined what Father means because he used the word Abba, our Father, our Daddy, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And here's the amazing thing about this. God is the Hebrew patriarch, cubed, if you will. God is creator and sustainer of all that exists. God is God Almighty. God is our sword and our shield and our refuge in time of trouble. God is all those strong things that we say. God is the only one who can justify us. All the strong stuff that we think about God is true. And it's truer than we can even understand. At the same time, he's the old man who hikes up his skirts and the attitude of the neighbors notwithstanding goes running out to meet this no-good boy of his, and before the no-good boy can even stammer out, let me be like a hired hand, the Father welcomes him back in the family. Now, let's be honest. You're in church on Sunday morning. I'm in church on Sunday morning. Most of the folks, dare I say this, this is a bad generalization, but I'm going to say it anyway. Most of the folks who are in church on a typical Sunday morning are elder son kind of folk.
You know, the elder son says,
they're making a feast. Dad had to pay off, sell off half the estate in order to bankroll that kid and wasted it all. Now, it's not that we shouldn't stand for righteousness. It's not that shouldn't honor the commandments. It's not that we shouldn't have good judgment. When Jesus, in the famous scene in John chapter 8, shamed away all of the accusers, the woman taken adultery, and then forgave her, he forgave her. But he said, go and sin no more. So we can't just simply dismiss the elder son out of hand, because we are the elder son and the elder daughter. We are called to a high standard of righteousness in a world where lies and insults and accusations and self-dealing and all of that are so often the norm. We are called to be different. Jesus, at the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, said, sums it all up by saying, Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Not only is it perfect, not only is it perfect. You say it's impossible. Well, it is impossible, but that's the whole point. As children of a gracious God, as forgiven children, as spirit-filled children, we are called to live, perfectly. Yeah, that's impossible. We are called to live toward perfection. Not be satisfied until we get there in glory. So we're not dismissing the holiness of God, but we are saying the unconditional love, the welcome, the forgiveness, the fatted calf come first. So when I talk about the image of a father, that's what I think of. I think of the patriarch, the Godfather, the Almighty, running to meet an imperfectly penitent sinner like you, like me, like all of us. Grace comes first. And I would say with this I conclude, a little bit of so what or a little bit of output. I'm a father. Some of you men here are fathers. Many of you here are mothers. So we have mothers, we have fathers, we have grandmothers, we have grandfathers. And even if you do not have a child of your own, you are some father's son, some daughter's son. Rather, you are some father's daughter. So we all live in that network of relationships. And so the output is this. As a father, or grandfather, as a mother, or grandmother, as some father's son, as some father's daughter, may we live that graciousness, that beauty, that acceptance, that unconditional love that the heavenly Abba demonstrates. Jesus not only loved and staked his whole being on his heavenly Abba, he redefined for all of us who God is. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for being the God that you are. We say, Abba, Father, we love you as it may be imperfect, may be self-serving, but we love you because you first loved us. And that's everything for us. In Jesus' name, we confess and we give thanks. Amen.
Right, we are going to stand. That's why we praise him. What a perfect song to end with after that. Stand, Morgana. Praise the Lord.
He came to live. Life he came to lead, the living word our light he came to die, so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise, to show his power and love. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer him our everything, that's why we bow down and worship. Because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything. He came to live, live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go. Prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. Because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything. That's why we praise. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down, worship this King. Because he gave his everything. Because he gave his
thank you for those who joined us.
media, God bless you. Thank you for getting my voice on so that they can hear me. So again, I was just saying happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. Thank you for those of you who join us virtually. Remember that you can put in your prayer requests to us. You can put in your praise reports so we can share them. And for those of you who are seeking Jesus, you've really been following us, but you're not sure that you want to follow Jesus, put that in your prayer request, and I will personally reach out to you and talk with you about knowing who God is. So thank you for being with us and supporting us financially. For those of you here in our sanctuary, God bless you this day. Thank you, Dr. Wheeler, for such a powerful word. God is our Father. He is our Abba. He is our Daddy, our Papi. He loves us and cares for us. Remember that, because sometimes you're going to go away from this place. You're going to come on some hard times. You're going to be thinking to yourself, I don't know if God even cares about this here situation I'm in. But yes, he does care. He does care, and he's there for us. So pray with me as we go. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God. Bless Dr. Wheeler for sharing the word. We ask now that your Holy Spirit that lives in us would guide us, would keep us, would protect the word, that seed that you've planted in our spirits today, so that we can go forth and show the rest of the world your grace. Put grace first, so that others may know who you are, and they too will call you Father. Thank you, God, for entrusting us with this ministry. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for watching over us day after day after day. We bless your holy name. And now as we go from this place, but definitely not from your presence, bless us, Lord God, to shine our lights, to be salt, all for your glory, until we meet again. In God's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Go, my brothers. Go, my sisters. Go, my siblings in Christ. Shine your light for his glory.